Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bring it fast.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, we are here for a Crystal Palace Club update. Of course, joined by Jay, you can find on Twitter at The Eagles Beak. Jay, it's been a while, but we just had to have you on after the result yesterday, after kind of the doom and gloom of the first 2 weeks, which were then kind of mentioned by Sam on the show last week. We figured we had to get you on after the result this week. For those that don't know, a 2-1 win against Manchester United. Plenty of ups and downs. If you wouldn't mind, why don't you run us through that match from your perspective?
Hey, Kev. Yeah, it's great to be back on the pod. What a start to the season. Sam's obviously covered the Everton game and Sheffield United debacle last weekend. But I have to say that the social media among Palace fans and Lincoln in the club this past week has been pretty horrific just after that Sheffield United result away from home. It wasn't around losing to a team like Sheffield United in the promoted side. That's not the issue. It's the manner of the loss. And I won't harp on too much about that, but I think there was a lot of finger pointing, and even Patrick Van Aanholt come out and said that they wanted it more than us and stuff like that. And this past week has been kind of pretty tough on social media, with a lot of Palace players being called out and picked up on social media. And one player particularly is Patrick Van Aanholt, who is very active on social media, particularly with his fantasy football team, likes to interact with people online and stuff, which, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's great when fans feel like they can kind of, you know, chat to or tweet or message players from their club. But it goes too far sometimes, and this past week has been pretty tough. But nobody gave us hope at the weekend. Old Trafford, it's a place where we haven't won for 30 years in the league. We won in the League Cup a number of years ago when Darren Ambrose scored what Gary Neville called the greatest goal ever scored at Old Trafford, and we're going to cling on to that one for a long time. But 30 years is a long time, and United have been a side that they've been our nemesis. We've really struggled to beat them in the Premier League, and then they've been a team, well, in the cups as well. I mean, two FA Cup finals against them, and they beat us both times. But that's scratching on some old wounds that are kind of healed. But yesterday was going into the game, nobody gave us hope, and that's Palace all over. That's the best way that we react as a club and a set of players. So going to Old Trafford, Palace fans probably didn't think much about it, kind of half expecting a bit of a beating because obviously Chelsea had that on opening day. But, you know, the first 20 minutes, half an hour, you know, United had an awful lot of possession in the game, and that's what you'd expect. But that's how Palace play away from home. We've got that ability to hit and hurt on a counter-attack with the likes of Zaha and Jordan Ayew starting. And a massive shout out to Roy Hodgson yesterday, because, you know, after last Sunday in Sheffield, he made four changes to the team yesterday. Not often he does that, not that many changes. And I think Jordan Ayew was probably unlucky to have been dropped from that Everton game. He played really well against Everton on the opening weekend. Didn't get a goal, but led the line really well and linked up really well. So he started on the bench against Sheffield United, but he came back into the team for this United game. And for me, man of match. I mean, he had a fantastic performance as a lone striker. Scored the opening goal after a brilliant flick on header from Jeffrey Schlupp beating Lindelof, of all people, to the header. And Ayew just had to pick his spot and score. And that was the first shock of the day, Old Trafford. You're kind of thinking, well, you know, before half time, long way to go, let's get to half time and see how it goes from there. And then we kind of gained a bit of strength from that, from taking lead, a bit of confidence. And Zaha came into the game more. His running battle against the likes of Wan-Bissaka, who was obviously at Palace last season, and you know, they're good friends to each other. That was a fascinating battle between the two of them. Taking on Ashley Young as well, making him look silly on more than one occasion as well, which is great. But Palace as a side, I mean, Roy set them up really well, and it was a real kick in the teeth really when Daniel James had that. Scored that good goal, really good goal, I have to say, a good goal, 89th minute, and you kind of think, in a way, Old Trafford, 5 minutes injury time, can we hang on to the point? And then up pops Patrick Van Aanholt, you know, a great movement from the team in injury time, 93rd minute, and I have to say, it started with Christian Benteke making a challenge in the midfield on Pogba to win the ball back, and it just went from there. Ball went out wide to Patrick Van Aanholt. He linked up very well with Wilf, and there it goes in the back of net. Even if De Gea should have got it, who cares? It's a Palace win. First one at Old Trafford for 30 years, and we're absolutely ecstatic, to be honest. I mean, this is just, this is a Palace. After last weekend, this is a proper Palace thing to do, to go and upset the apple cart, go to United and get the 3 points. And I think in the end, you know, a lot of United fans have, you know, said things on social media about Palace cheating and wasting time and slowing the game down, but isn't that what the big clubs do? You know, this is not the sort of thing we've become accustomed to doing. But somewhere at United, Roy set us up to be stubborn, hard to beat, hard for United to get through. And you know, you're not going to go to Old Trafford as a team like Palace and go out and attack and attack and attack, because that's just going to play into their hands. Not sure what they expect. Obviously, you don't like losing to a team like Palace, but hey, you know, you got to take it on the chin. Fantastic result. Patrick Van Aanholt, as I mentioned on social media and some of his comments in the week, had the final say with the second goal. And yeah, we're back on. Life is good on social media and as a Palace fan at the moment after that result. But it, you know, we've seen this before in previous seasons. That, you know, we won at City last year. We beat Arsenal away last year. You know, we do play up against the big sides, and you know, we don't always do it every season, but we tend to put in a really good performance against these sides, and we more than matched United yesterday. I have to say, bit of luck. There's a couple of dubious decisions in the game which actually went our way for a change, and you know, the big sides do get a fair amount of decisions going their way in games such as this. So it's nice to see us getting the rubber of the green a little bit more than normal. But yeah, as a Palace fan, I'm not the only one, exceedingly happy after the result yesterday. And to score a winner, I mean, to actually concede the goal, to go 1-1 and thinking, oh, can we hold on, to actually going back up the other end and scoring a 93rd minute winner at Old Trafford. I think that's only the second team to do that. And that's the first team at Old Trafford to score a winner in injury time, I believe. I think the stat I read yesterday. Could be wrong. I think the first one was Thierry Henry, but that was obviously United were away for that game. So yeah, very happy with the result, the 3 points, and you know, gets us back and something for us to work on, I think, you know, from here. But yeah, it's a real weight off our shoulders now, that one, because it's been hanging around for 30 years. It's a long time not to get a result there. So very happy with that.
Yeah, certainly a nice win to put in your pocket and a lovely 3 points in the league. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the formation, because it was a bit of a surprise when it came on the screen before the match. It was going to be a 4-5-1, obviously departing from a bit more traditional formations from you. And Zaha at the tip was not something that has typically worked out fantastically well. On the day, it does work out, though. Do you think we'll see more tactical flexibility from Roy in the future? Do you think this is something you'll employ? Or was this just kind of a one-off against the bigger side?
I think Roy tries to adapt the team to the opposition a lot of the time. Not so much at home. I think we're very rigid at home in terms of, you know, that's how we're going to set out. And that's why probably we haven't got the results we should have done at home over the last couple of years. But I think Roy got this spot on yesterday, you know, flooded the midfield with players like Kouyaté came in and made his first appearance of the season. Jeffrey Schlupp, very energetic midfielder, supported Ayew really well. And for the most part, Wilf was kind of, you know, we had to five it across the midfield, really, and Wilf was out wide. and being that player with a bit of freedom. But for most of the game, he was out in that wide position and cutting in to support Ayew as well. So I think Schlapp and Wilf had that little bit more freedom than perhaps the rest of the side. Luka probably struggled a bit in the game yesterday. Still did a job, don't get me wrong, but I think he struggled with the midfield being so flooded, alongside Coyote, Schlapp, MacArthur as well. Dropping Townsend to the bench was... Townsend's a hard-working player. He supports the defence, but I think we needed something to try and stifle that that United side, which he did. Whether we're going to see it again, it wouldn't surprise me if he did it at other top six sides this season. It's worked against United, but United are a different side when you compare them to the likes of Liverpool and Man City. Perhaps you could put them in a similar kind of boat as Arsenal, but it worked yesterday. But obviously, you've got to make sure that the players do the jobs that they've been set up to do and told to do, and they all executed it almost to perfection yesterday, I think. So you've got to rely on that side of things. But it wouldn't surprise me if he tried it elsewhere, whether it's with the same personnel or not. We've got a fair amount of choice for that midfield now. Flooding the midfield like he did yesterday probably has a lot more to do with what he's got at his disposal in terms of players this year. We have a lot of midfield options, an awful lot of midfield options. We don't have a lot of options up front. And for me, I'd rather see Wilf playing out wide and supplying the front man. And what really worked yesterday was Jordan Ayew playing that lone striker role very well indeed. He battled hard. He hassled and harangued the United back line all through the game until he was substituted and Benteke came on. But I wouldn't surprise. I wouldn't want to see us play it too often against some of the lesser sides in the Premier League. Although it might have worked a bit better against Sheffield United last week, that sort of formation. But I think we'll see it a few more times, but I don't think it's going to be a regular occurrence.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I kind of mentioned as we headed into there that Zaha was leading the line, just gets one shot on target, two shots on the day. What do you make of his role in this Crystal Palace side? With the struggles of Benteke, and I think you let Sorloth out on loan, so I guess Wickham is still there as the only forward options. Yeah. Are you thinking that we will see a lot more of Zaha playing up front this season, and do you think that's the best way to use him?
Good question. I personally prefer to see him out wide and being that creative player, particularly when the likes of Benteke is playing. But in saying that, we've only got Benteke, Wickham and Ayew as the three striker options this year. And it's unlikely we're going to play two up front unless it's Wilf and somebody else. The problem I find with Wilf is that he finds a space and he's very tricky when he plays up front or off the striker. But he's not a natural goal scorer. And I say that because when you watch him play up front or sitting off of the likes of Ayew, who's kind of a very similar kind of player, but more so Benteke. When Benteke is up there and he gets the flick-ons, Wilf doesn't anticipate that flick-on. He's not kind of, right on his shoulder and expecting that, where if he's playing a true striker role, he probably should be, expecting that kind of thing. Jeffrey Schlapp did it great yesterday, but obviously he's not Benteke. Benteke is that player doing that flick-on. It's not very often we get a player running beyond Benteke to to take on that flick on, whereas Jeffrey Schlupp won ahead of yesterday, and Jordan Ayew was that natural striker who did exactly that. Zaha's not that kind of player. He's not that natural striker. He gets goals, no doubt about it, but that's more to do with his skill and his pace. And I think he's got a bit more to learn to play that role. Maybe as a kind of, you know, a deep line forward, you know, behind Benteke or behind Ayew. But to me, I'd much rather him be creative out wide, and if he's cutting inside and doing his work that way, as a kind of stereotypical winger. But to be honest, yeah, football's moving away from that kind of winger these days, which is why Zaha's had to adapt a little bit and be a bit more flexible within the Palace, side. And you know, there's no doubt, and he is our main player. You know, we've got some really good players at the club as well, but you know, this is the last season, let's face it, we're going to see him at Palace. So we've just got to make the most of, you know, seeing him play, wearing that Palace shirt, because there's no doubt in it, he's either going to be gone in January or next summer. So we use him to the best of his abilities right now to get what we can out of him in this side. And whether that's out wide or off the front man, then Roy's the guy to judge that, I guess. But personally, I prefer him to be out wide.
Yeah, and you touched on something I did want to follow up on, which was Zaha's kind of mindset post-transfer window. Obviously, the late transfer request is rejected. He stays. Hodgson very emphatically on deadline day saying that Zaha was staying. What have you made of his performances thus far, and are you worried about that at all, or do you think he'll just be a professional and just kick on until eventually he does depart?
I think there's a lot of concern. You know, there's no doubt that, you know, a player's head would be in a different place after what happened. I mean, it's common knowledge that he handed in the transfer request 24 hours before the deadline finished. He returned late from the African Cup of Nations as well, so he wasn't up to speed to start the game against Everton anyway, that first game. But in saying that, his mindset, there was a massive concern among Palace fans in that, you know, what will we see of him? Will we see him play against Everton? When will we see him start, and how will it affect him? You've only got to look at the moment he came on against Everton. I mean, I was more concerned about the reaction of the fans after that, after what happened on deadline day, or 24 hours before deadline day. But he came on against Everton, got a rapturous welcome by the fans in that 65th minute or 60th minute, whichever it was. And that kind of sealed it for me. And I think that did a lot to put Wilf's mind at rest a little bit, in that, you know, I think it's clear that he sees, you know, he's at Palace now until whether it's January or next summer or, you know, whatever happens. So I think he's the kind of player that will just get on and, well, that's what I hoped he would be, that player to just get on and play for Palace, play for the club that, you know, he started at and all that. And let's face it, he could have made a lot of enemies, you know, through what had happened. There's no doubt about it. You know, it's happened. We've seen it at other clubs and other players. But he came on and did a job in an Everton game, unlucky not to, you know, to get through to the win in that game. Disappeared a bit in the Sheffield United game when perhaps we needed him more than ever, but that's probably a lot more to do with the way that we were playing, and you know, we didn't get the ball to him enough. But we saw glimpses of it against United yesterday, in that, you know, he showed Aaron Wan-Bissaka, you know, exactly what he's about. Ashley Young, he put him on his backside on a couple of occasions, and while he wasn't integral to the game, he was a clear concern for United players, and he dealt with that close attention very well indeed. Didn't lose his rag like he's done before, and we've just, you know, yesterday I think probably showed a lot more about you know, him getting on with it, and you know, he'll do what he can while he's here, and then we'll say our goodbyes. But yeah, massive concern, I think, from me and a lot of Palace fans as well, in that, you know, where his head's going to be. But I think in these opening few games, he's shown us that he's fine. He's professional. He's getting on with it, and he's got a very close affiliation with his club. Closer than many that I've seen before. Very close to the chairman. And while all that's gone on behind the scenes and with his agents and the club and whoever, other clubs have made bids, I think that's been brushed under the carpet, and he's just going to get on with it like we've seen in the last couple of games.
Yeah, it was really interesting, the kind of narratives heading in with Wan-Bissaka versus Palace, his old club, Saha versus United, his also old club. I definitely agree with a lot of your points there. Also, if I'm not mistaken, this was Cahill's first start for Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
And he gets the clean sheet. I think he conceded just once this season. Is that right as well?
Twice. We conceded at Sheffield United, right. And then obviously yesterday Daniel James goal. But yeah, I mean, Gary Cahill, a lot of fans are dubious about him signing for Palace. To be honest, for me, I thought it was a sensible signing. You know, a free transfer, so you're not paying a fee, you're paying his wages, which is quite considerable, I would guess, from coming from Chelsea. But he's kept himself fit. He's clearly kept himself fit. I don't think he's played a Premier League, or started a Premier League game for like 15 months, I think the stat was yesterday. And I think he's a player that we've probably needed for a little while. James Tompkins is made of glass, so he gets injured a fair bit. He had an operation in the summer, and he's not due back for a little while into the season yet, due to complications. And Mamadou Sakho is still nursing an injury that he missed the last 7 or 8 games of last season. So, you know, those two are our starting centre backs, our dream team as centre backs, as it were. But you know, they're both quite injury prone. And Gary Cahill is a player who, you know, he's got experience. He's been at Chelsea for a long time. He's a winner. He's won, you know, he's won trophies. You know, he's won things with, he's won the Premier League. He's won things with Chelsea, and you know, he's got a vast amount of experience that he could bring to this Palace side. We've got players in the side that have experience, but I think he showed a lot of that yesterday. I think his first game was very accomplished as a senior player at a club. You know, a debut for a club, even though you're an experienced player, is often pretty tough. But in the centre of defence, when you're having to marshal that defence, and that's what he did brilliantly yesterday. You could see him talking to the defenders the whole game. And I do really think that is why Patrick Van Aanholt had such a good game yesterday. Now, Patrick Van Aanholt had a terrible season last year, and we're going into this season with him as left back. And a lot of fans are like, we needed some competition for him. He doesn't really have any competition other than there's a youngster coming through the ranks, Tyrick Mitchell, who we believe is going to be, if he gets his chance, he could really have a good go, as Aaron Wan-Bissaka did. But Gary Cahill taught Wan-Bissaka and the rest of defence through the game yesterday. And while he was lucky to stay on the pitch yesterday, obviously we, you know, that decision went our way. But he was brilliant. He was just what we needed. When we look back at the Sheffield United loss the weekend before, we were pretty much all over the place at the back. And this is a side that, you know, Scott Dan and Martin Kelly actually, you know, did well to keep a clean sheet against Everton in the opening game. And as we know in the Premier League, every game is different. Every week is different. But Gary Cahill, I was very impressed with yesterday. And I didn't really have a concern about him joining. I didn't know what sort of, you know, game time he was going to get or what sort of state of fitness he was in, you know, coming into the club. But I spoke to a fellow Chelsea group. I think the big thing they said to us was the Puma kit will work well for Gary Cahill because of the size of his biceps. I've never noticed it before, but he's got massive arms. He's got huge arms. That's just a side note, anyway. But he's a proper defender who gets stuck in, and he did his trademark. He did it quite a lot for Chelsea, I noticed. But he went for a header which was quite low on the ground and cleared it. Just and any sort of player that, you know, puts their face into danger of getting a boot for it is a winner for me. So yeah, I think it was a big part of that result yesterday for us, and a real sense of stability in that back line. And to be honest, I think the biggest thing was that I can't remember a save that Vincente Gaeta had to make yesterday, which proves how well the back line played.
Yeah, and in like the 10 matches where Mamadou Sakho was fit, that's a very talented pairing. Although getting up there in years these days. You also mentioned having Townsend come off of the bench certainly seems to be a good thing for you, as it would kind of bring that at least crossing and pace element on the right. Do you think he's better off for Palace starting the match so that you have that for 90 minutes, or trying to compress all of that into, you know, a tight 30 or less?
I love Andros to bits. He works so hard, and his... His link up with Aaron Wan-Bissaka last year was brilliant out wide. You know, he talked Aaron Wan-Bissaka through games. He linked up well with him, kind of double team players with Wan-Bissaka, and he's a winger, but he's a very defense minded player as well, because he tracks back a lot and works that line up and down. I think his only downside is his contribution, his final ball and his goal tally probably isn't what it should be. You know, in terms of getting that cross into the box, particularly when Benteke's playing. You know, you've got to play to a striker's strengths, because we know strikers are generally lazy players and they want it on the plate. But as you know, when we play with a player like Benteke, so often we've hit the ball, got the ball to his feet, and he's not a bad striker with his feet, but you know, his strength is with his head, and we've got to use that. But all too often, we've done the wrong thing with the strikers up front, and Andros is as guilty as anybody in the Palace team, really. I think he was unlucky to be dropped for the game yesterday, but I don't consider it him being dropped for any real performance. It was, you know, the team that were picked yesterday were specifically for the task at hand, to try and get something out, you know, out of the United game, really. And width going forward probably wasn't our biggest biggest aim, really. And with Wilf on one side, we probably couldn't afford to have another player out the other side. So I think Andros suffered from that front, really, more than anything else. But Andros is great. I personally think he's better starting for us than he is coming off the bench. And obviously he scored that goal at City last year, which is in the final 10 goals for the Puskas Award this year, which is no mean feat. We just need a little bit more from him in terms of delivery and also goals as well. But yeah, I think yesterday he will start more games than he doesn't this season. I think he's a better player when he starts a game. But then next week he'll probably go and prove the opposite and come on and score from the bench. But you know, he's on the team sheet as a starter most weeks. But I think he suffered because of the formation yesterday and how he wanted to play.
Gotcha. Well, it'll certainly be interesting to see how he performs, as you say, mentioned for Puskas, and also a soft spot for most Tottenham fans, considering how long he was there in the academy and everything. All right, well, with kind of all of this in mind, what have your impressions of this Crystal Palace team been thus far? And do you have any sense yet of where you might be fighting? Maybe, you know, top 10, relegation zone? Where do you think your competition is coming from this season?
This is such a typical Palace side, isn't it? I mean, we had the fighting spirit against Everton to keep a clean sheet and get a point, and arguably should have got the win. Then we had the debacle up at Sheffield last weekend, and then we had the flip side, the reaction and the fantastic result at United yesterday. It just seems like a typical Palace side, that not a lot different to last year. You know, last year we were never in the bottom three at all. Last season there was a small threat of us being dragged into it, but we put paid to that. I don't see us doing much different to last year, I would have to say. We are a cohesive unit. We do have a lot more options across the midfield than we did last year. We got the likes of Camarasa to come in, who's a very exciting talent and very well for Cardiff last year. So we've a bit more creativity there. The glimpses we've seen of James McCarthy is just another of what we've kind of already got there in the like of James McArthur and Cheick Coyote. We've got a very stubborn squad of players, I think. And I don't see us doing too much different to last year. So I'm expecting a mid-table. If we can challenge for a top 10, then great. But, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. This is our seventh season in Premier League. Some fans are thinking we should be pushing on by now. But you've got to be careful what you wish for in football. And, you know, we're not a top six side. You know, we know our place in a general scheme of things. But if we can challenge for top 10, great. But I think first and foremost, we've got to look at getting that 40-point barrier, seeing what point of season that is, and then we can push on from there. But I think I think we should be able to push on to mid-table. We've got a lot of experience in that side. I think we're one of the oldest squads in the Premier League, actually, in terms of age, average age, which, you know, some people are kind of scoffing at a little bit and thinking we should be, you know, should be having some young players in and around there. But I think that's just where we are at the moment. I think Palace have always been a side that, if you look through the previous six seasons in the Premier League, we've generally always brought in players that have experience in the Premier League. You know, you could point out other clubs in the Premier League, such as Brighton as a good example. They haven't particularly brought in anybody over since they've been promoted that have Premier League experience, and they almost suffered a bit through that last year, I think. Palace generally have always brought in players that, you know, can kind of hopefully hit the ground running a little bit and go with that experience, and it's kind of proved okay for us for now, you know, to keep us where we are. But it'd be nice to see us push on, but I'm going to go for another mid-table finish like last season.
Gotcha. Time will certainly tell in that regard, but obviously, regardless of what happens long-term, a fantastic win yesterday as we record. Jay, an absolute pleasure having you back on. Why don't you tell the folks where they could reach you?
Thank you, Kev. It's a pleasure as always. I'm at the Eagles Beat. Website is theeaglesbeat.com. We're very active on Twitter, between games, during games. We love chatting to opposition fans as well. It's some of the best things we do. So come and follow us at the Eagles Beak on Twitter, at the Eagles Beak on Twitter, and we're also on Facebook as well. So come and like us, follow us, chat to us, do whatever you like. Just don't abuse us.
Yeah, certainly don't send any hatred their way. Looking at you, Brighton fans. No, just kidding. anyway, an absolute pleasure having you on. As always, really enjoyed it, and I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Cheers, guys.